at 47. I'm getting started in this sermon here. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. We pray that you will speak to us now and minister to us in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, love is a topic or the subject of the sermon this morning. I think a title to this sermon might be Love, a Treasure Greatly Sought After. You know, when I think about history that I've read, and I've studied a lot of history, I find that it seems like love is a treasure that all seek after. Now, you've heard of great explorers going after the fountain of youth, and that people seek youth. And I believe that probably youth is a treasure that people seek after too. But you know, some feel very comfortable in whatever their age they are. I do. I feel comfortable being 42. I feel I have no problem with that. And when I get to be 85, I'll feel good about 85. Because that's, outward age is nothing but an illusion anyway. But even though people seem to seek after that, I still don't think that compares with how they seek after love. You see. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love that people focus on money that's the root. And they can sort of focus that love on self and focus that love on others. It doesn't have to be just money. Money is one of the branches that grows out of that root. But love definitely is a treasure, is something that drives people to murder sometimes. It drives people to tremendous sacrifice. It causes people to build walls around them and lock themselves in a prison within. Love is a very influential aspect of life. Amen. Love has many faces. Sometimes we call it feeling valuable, being esteemed. My car needs me to wash it, to tune it up, to keep it clean. Doesn't your car need that? But my car does not make me feel loved just because I feel adequate taking care of my car. My car needs me to drive it. Your house needs you to clean it. But I don't feel real valuable just because my car needs me. How about you? What is my point? It takes something breathing with a heart beating within to make you feel valuable. It still goes back to love, doesn't it? Or to feel adequate. People try to find love in relationships, intimate, personal relationships. They try to find love in a family setting. Some try to find love in professions. You know, trying to be important so all the employees look up to them. Or trying to be important so your boss will favor you. Some try to find love in politics, to become a very important person in politics, so their contingents, I guess you call them, or what do they call these people, love them, admire them, esteem them, look up to them. It's all expressions that we receive as love. Sometimes we're just in love with love itself. The concept of love sometimes we take and fall in love with, but it's still love that we're seeking. I've seen people in love with love, and they live in a fantasy world. They don't really have a love relationship, but they're in love with love. I've seen people in love with giving love. I've seen others who are in love with receiving love, but it's still a deep driving force within all mankind. You show me a hard-hearted person, a cold-hearted person. I will show you a person who has sought after love to a point and not received it or not been able to recognize it to a point that they've locked it all out. The deeper the callous, the deeper the need for love. If love is such a tremendous force, we need to understand love. If love can drive people to sacrifice, seeing their own life, or killing others in the name of love, because sometimes we find ourselves being motivated by love through by jealousy, anger, possessiveness. All of these are involved with this confusion around that hovers around love. Most love in this world is infatuation. Because the Bible says that God is love, and if you have God, you have love. If you don't have God, you can't have love. And there's so many people that have such a dynamic expression of love, but they don't have God, and that tells me they can't have love. And I see people who are immature in Christ, they don't have much of a relationship with Christ, but they seem to have such a powerful love for each other. They got to be around each other all the time. They just awesomely bathe each other in affection. And when they're away from each other, they feel depressed. And when they're with each other, they light up like a light bulb. But if they have an immature relationship with God, I know that cannot be love. Because God is love. And the Bible's right. So that tells me a lot about infatuation. It's a powerful force. The only trouble with infatuation is based on self-love. Infatuation is what I'm going to get out of this. I'll give to get. I'll do this to esteem myself, to feel okay. And eventually that kind of love destroys the object of that love. Possessiveness. Jealousy. All these insecurities will be infested, you might say, in infatuation. And that kind of love will lead you to destroy each other, amen? To reject each other. To be threatened by each other. It's a sick love. And I only lived 42 years, but I've seen enough to know that I don't want anything to do with that love. Some people are infatuated in their families. Mothers are infatuated with their children. Children are infatuated with their parents. And I'm not talking about sexual romantic love here. I'm talking about love in general. Are you infatuated with your children, or do you really love your children? You see? Do you really love your parents, or you got an infatuation? The ups and downs of your relationship sometimes will point to that even children only have infatuating love for their parents. Why did they have it that way? Because their parents had infatuation love for each other. And they passed it on down to their kids. Why do kids end up hurting their parents? Because their love's based on infatuation, that's self-love. We need to have the pure love. We need to have that refreshing, pure love that cleanses you, that refreshes you, that gives you a purpose to live from day to day. There's a motivating force within you that'll cause you to uplift and help others. Administer to those in your own family and go the hard way. A love that cannot be broken down. A love that will sacrifice deeply, and there'll be no end to that sacrifice, and it will not be for selfish consideration. If the world had love, they would not have crime. If the world had love, we wouldn't have as many nursing homes. If the world had love, we wouldn't have so many reform schools. If the world had love, we wouldn't have the prisons, and there wouldn't be a need for hospitals. Very few people would be sick if you had love. If you're healthy mentally and emotionally, usually you're healthy physically. And love is a life force that flows through our spirit, helps us keep healthy, psychologically, emotionally. But it cannot be self-love. Here in 1 John 4:7, it says, "We love, let us love one another. For love is of God." That means it comes from God. "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." You find someone that really, really has true spiritual love, you'll know they're a born-again Christian, because that's the only way you can get it. Herein is love. Well, I'm going to back up. I'm jumping ahead here. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Love will find a lover even in failure. Love will reach out to a lover even when the lover is failing in sin. Even when that love has hurt you, that lover has hurt you, love will reach beyond that. Amen? We can understand love. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." So it says, hereby we perceive. We can understand love better. How can we understand love better? 1 John 2:5 says, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Love of God and love in general can be perfected by knowing God's word, looking at God's word, and finding out the cornerstones of love. Learning and understanding love will release it within you. It's one step. I'd like to take us to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And look to an example that God uses when he talks about love between himself and us. Ephesians 5 and 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Here, God uses an example of his relationship with the church to tell a husband how to love the wife. And we can also learn some facts about how we should love God or love others when we look to a relationship between a husband and a wife. Let's look at some of the natural elements of a love between a man and a woman and help us to understand how we can love God more. Because you see, if we learn to love God more, if we learn to understand his love more, then we'll have love for each other. Amen? You cannot love others without loving God. You cannot love others without having God's love within you. Love starts with God. So let's look to the elements of love. Let's look to the love relationship between man and woman, so we can understand. A lot of times God uses examples to teach us by, doesn't he? He talks about trees. He talks about the birds that fly in the trees. He talks about the earth, the sower, and the seed. God, when he walked this earth, was very artistic, you might say, creative in how he used examples to teach us. Now, we know that if we are going to love each other, that we've got to pay attention to each other. Isn't that simple? We have got to pay attention to each other. We've got to be aware of each other. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 10:39 that he that findeth his life will lose it, and he that loses his life for his sake will find it. And in 1 John 2:5 that we just, you know, just read, it says that, talks about, but whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are of him. And that's not the verse I want. Praise God. See, that must have been someone come up and interrupted me this morning. I wrote down the wrong verse. One of these verses talks about he gave his life for us. I guess that's maybe 1 John 3:16. It says that he gave his life for us. Now, I want to take that point out here. And I'm struggling this morning, so pray for me. I don't feel like I'm in the right flow this morning, mainly because I got interrupted so many times. I lost it when I was putting it together. So if you want to be fed this morning, you better pray for me now, you know, because I'm not going to give it like I got it or can give it. If I don't have prayer, are you praying for me? Good. Great. Praise the Lord. But you see, when we read the Bible about giving his life for us, we need to capture the meaning of that. The word there in the Greek for life is soul. That Jesus gave his soul for us. Now, the soul contains the thoughts, the mind, and the emotions. We've learned that through our study of the scriptures. That the soul part of you contains your thoughts, your mind, your conscious thoughts, your emotions. It's not just the laying down of a physical life, although that's part of it, because the body without the soul is dead. But Jesus not only gave his flesh, but he gave his soul. And what does that mean? Jesus wrapped his whole attention around mankind and his creation. I want you to think about that. God is God. His thoughts centered around himself. Is he thinking about himself up there in heaven? But it seems to, when I read the Bible, it seems to indicate that God has wrapped his life around us. He's wrapped his life around his creation. He's given up a lot of other things that he might have been concentrating on, and he is concentrating on us. And we need to learn that principle. If we're going to love, we need to stop having so many self thoughts, and we need to start wrapping our thoughts around the other person, not how they affect us, and not just what's going on in our life. Just like I started to say a little bit ago when I got sidetracked, let's look at a man and woman, and look at a relationship. I've been around a lot of people that's in and out of love, and I listen to the stories, and I've, you know, been there and am there now. And what do you think of when you first wake up in the morning? What do you think of? What did you think of this morning when you first woke up? Did you think about, oh, I got to get my hair fixed? Oh, I wonder if I got my clothes. What am I going to wear this morning? It's going to be like blue dress or that red dress. I wonder if it's clean. Oh, I got to hurry around. I don't want to be late. I don't want to be late. You get the eye? Not wondering what other people are going through, getting ready this morning. I was thinking about this morning. I opened my eyes. And I thought, wow, just think right now, everybody's getting up. Getting ready for church. And I was visualizing it in my mind. And I was just thinking about different ones getting up. I was wondering what they was going through, you know. Kids climbing all over the place, you know. And I thought about Donna over there, you know, getting her net out, trying to grab those kids and get them dressed. And And I thought about Dolores getting up, and I thought about, man, I bet when she gets out of bed, she bet her body hurts. I don't know if it does or not, but I just think it probably does. You know, when you're sick a lot of times, and you lay down during the night, and you toss and you turn, and you don't sleep real well or something, you get up in the morning, and you feel like, oh, man. Do you feel that way? You know? And I thought about Grandma. I said, man, you know, Grandma's 70-some years old. I wonder how she feels when she gets out of bed in the morning. I wonder if she just jumps out of bed. Dum, 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 you know? You know, at 42 years old, you know what I feel like when I sit too long in one spot? I go, oh, you know. I've been exercising that muscle, too. It bothers me. You know, I thought, boy, probably Grandma, 77 years old, I'm sure she probably has a few bones that ache, you know. And when she comes to church, it's not just, you know, she just take it for granted. I started thinking about Vince. So Vince has been in the hospital and had his surgical knife taken to him. You know, I wonder how he feels today with that little hernia operation done with now. And I started thinking about different ones, you know. I wonder what God's doing this morning, you know. Is he singing in the Pacific Ocean, you know. What's my wife doing? How's she feeling? You know, how are you, baby? You know, how are you doing this morning? What do you think of? I know what Angie thinks of. She thinks of God, and then she comes bouncing into the bathroom and says, hi, Dad. She goes, hi, Dad. You know, he bounces in her every morning, gives me a big lift. You know, I'm sitting there looking in the ear. She's always asking me, she says, yeah, get the eye drops out, Dad, and, you know, this morning. But what do you think of? You know, I've seen some people that gets right in front of the mirror. They wake up, as soon as they do, they grab everything, get right in front of the mirror. Usually they're right there, and all they do all morning is. You know? And that's all they think of is, what am I going to look like today? You know? But you see, we can look to earthly relationships and think about our heavenly relationship. We can look to heavenly relationship and learn about our earthly relationship. And we've got to stop being so self-centered. Now, this is not something that happens naturally just because you love someone. You've got to learn not to be self-centered. Self-centeredness will restrict love. And a lack of it will enhance love, but remember, that's something separate from love, even though it influences it. Self-centeredness is a way of life. It's a way of living. You've got to train yourself not to be self-centered. Just loving someone isn't, you know, this have a seed of love towards someone isn't going to motivate you not to be self-centered. Now, infatuation will do that for a little while sometimes. You're so fired up about someone else, but really you're wanting to get something back. So it's still self-centered. You can always tell because when they disappoint you, you really go crazy, you know. But in real love, you can have real love for someone, but have a personality problem that you need to discipline yourself and work on. What we really need to do is develop avenues for love to flow. Think about that. We need to develop avenues for our love to grow through. What happens if you put a seed under a rock or in a rock? It's a cement. It didn't go anyplace because it didn't have an avenue to grow. What happens if you put a seed in the ground? It moves around through the openings in the ground and works its way out. You got to have an avenue. Water will flow through an avenue, won't it? What happens if it's clogged up? And if we don't develop avenues through which to love, we will not have love. What's avenues? Well, I gave you one today. Getting around each exposure. Exposure is an avenue. Now, this is kind of simple, but I think we need to think about it. You need to expose yourself to the one you want to love more. You need to be around them. You need to rub up against them. Don't think your love is just going to flourish if you don't have an avenue for it to, you know, flow through. Being exposed to a person, being around a person more will give you more opportunity for love to flow and grow. Now, it doesn't you don't have to be around a person all the time to love them. Don't get me wrong. But that is an avenue. Your thoughts is an avenue to let love grow. People say, well, I just don't love my wife as much as I used to. I don't love my husband as much as I used to. Do you think about him very much? No. Got a lot of things in my mind. You've got to direct your thoughts. You've got to think on a person if your love's going to grow for that person. If you don't develop an avenue of thought for love to grow through, then your love's not going to grow. You've got to stop thinking about yourself and all the things in your life and think about that person. And then your love will grow. You see? Isn't that what we've got to do towards God? We've got to put a mind on God if we're going to get closer to God. A lot of people say, well, I don't feel very close to God. Do you think about God much? Well, I guess I don't love God very much because I don't think about him much. You're missing the point. You can have love towards God, but if you want that love to increase, you've got to think about him, and that is a personality characteristic. That is something you discipline yourself to do. I'm not around my wife just because I love her. I decide to be around her, and my love grows for her. You see? I decide who I'm going to spend time with and who I'm not going to spend time with. Now, sometimes it gets pretty tough in my situation, you know. But you've got to choose to think about people. You got to choose to think about God if you want your love to grow for God. You got to choose to be around people. This is a matter of discipline. Amen? Communication is a... talking to someone is a avenue for love to grow through. You say, well, being around them, that, you know, of course you're going to talk to them. Not necessarily. Some people get around other people and they don't talk to them. You're going to have to talk to a person if you want your love to grow, don't you? How many of you women think that men don't talk to you enough? How many think they talk too much? You know, my poor wife, she would probably have that complaint that I don't talk enough. And I try to discipline myself. I come home and I sit down next to her in bed and, it's been 12 o'clock at night and she starts talking. You know, and I start a negative, man. She just talks and she wants me to talk. And I don't feel like talking. And I once in a while still say, baby, I'm all talked out, man. Can I just listen? I've been talking all day. I don't want to. She will tell me about your day. Tell me about what's going on. Tell me. And I've got to discipline myself to talk to her. Because if I don't talk to her, my love won't grow. If I don't listen, my love won't grow. That's another avenue of listening. Don't tune people out. Listen to them. Talk to them. And the same way, we've got to listen to God and talk to God if we want our love to grow with him. We've got to take time to talk to God. People tell me all the time, I don't feel close to God. Well, are you talking to God? Do you take time to listen? Amen? What else in building your love? Letting your love grow to the ultimate awesome love that we all would like to have. Capture the very heart of love. Experience love to the very depths of reality. What else must we do? What can we do? Well, we need to become compatible. We need to become compatible. Compatibility does not equal love, and love does not equal compatibility. People say we're incompatible, so we must not love each other. No. Love needs the avenue of compatibility to flow through and grow. But I want you to know something. They're two different things. I've seen people love each other tremendously a lot, but they're very incompatible. And I've seen a beautiful young flower of love die because they never develop compatibility with the one that they love. Love, most of the time, becomes frustrated and it settles down and dies or becomes complacent or irrelevant. Most of the world's love ends up in disaster, doesn't it? 2 out of 3 marriages ended in divorce, and out of the other third, probably 90% of them are living in divorce while they're still living together. You know what I mean? Most people are already divorced and they just live together. Very few people let love grow to the mountain heights of experience. And one great reason is because they're incompatible. Now, what does that mean? Well, I like to go to a Chinese restaurant. Well, I like McDonald's. The other day I said, son, I'm going to take you out tonight. We're going to go out and we're going to eat somewhere special. Now, I thought he'd got over this, being 18 years old, but I was driving down 30th. I said, son, I've been, saving my pennies. We're going to go somewhere and eat real nice tonight. How would you like to go to Furs or Bonanza? His face went, and for a moment I couldn't understand, and then I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's where I like to eat. I used to like to eat before I got it, for paradise grew up. Still like to eat, but I don't very often. I said, well, where would you like to eat? He says, well, Dad, Burger King would be great. Can you imagine that? Burger King over Furs? Burger King over Bonanza? And then it reminded me when they were little kids. And we took them to Bonanza when it was up here on North Main. And they both, one was about 5, one was about 3, Maria and Mikey. And I remember sitting across from them, and we was talking about, isn't this nice? And my wife was sitting next to me, and we was all happy with the family was all together. And she just loved that steak, you know. And it was a special time for us when we went out. And I said, "Smarty kids, you don't look like you're enjoying yourself." And I can't remember which one said. I said, "Do we have to come here anymore? We have to come out here again or something like that?" We thought they liked to come out and eat steak. They didn't. They liked those old greasy French fries. What am I talking about? I'm talking about compatibility. We've got to choose to be compatible. We've got to develop compatibility. Why are we incompatible? Because we have learned different ways to live. We have taken on different interests, haven't we? Why does my kids like to go to Burger King? Well, it's probably a combination of the fact that that's all we could afford when they were younger and they got used to it. Or they watched TV too much, and they've seen that all these little characters live at Burger King, and they want to go to see the little fat hot dogs and things, or hamburgers or whatever. Somehow they have been brainwashed to think Burger King is a good place to live and to eat. They have learned what they know. Their tastes have been developed. Your tastes have been developed. They're not you. You are not born with them. You're not created with them. You have taken on taste and prejudices in life. You can change them. You can learn to like to do different things than what you like now. And you need to make a conscious effort to be compatible with that person that you want to love or God whom you want to love. Pleasure. Why do some people like to fish? Gerald likes to fish. Frank likes to fish. Joseph Pisano likes to fish. Richard Potts likes to fish. He's been threatening to take me out and torture me for a long time. I cannot imagine why anyone would like to fish. It is the most boring, senseless, cruel. I mean, to kill those little fish. I remember, I've only been fishing 2 times in my life, once when I was about 10 years old, and another time I took Mikey, or was it Mikey, or was it Angela? I forget who I took. One of you girls. I took out the fish. Is Mikey in here? Okay. And here's what I did. I went down and bought me some goldfish. And we went down here across from the courthouse to this little river that runs through the center of town. And I took the goldfish and I hid them in the car. And we went out there, it was nighttime, and I had the fishing pole. Had a play worm on it. And we was fishing. And I hid that little bucket down next to where we was fishing. And then we act like we got something. And I was going like this, you know, so, oh, Mike, come on, hold on to it, buddy. And he grabbed that, yeah, it was Mikey. He grabbed that fishing pole. And boy, him and I was making it feel like we had something big on the end of it. And then we pulled it out of the water, and we were doing like this, and I reached over and grabbed that fish, and I said, look what we caught. Boy, he jumped up and down, he caught a fish. That's a true story. That's what I really did. Because I could not stand to really get a real fish, because I couldn't stand to think about putting a hook in his jaw. You know what I mean? So Brother Posh, you and I are incompatible. But if I'm going to develop a relationship, I've got to become compatible. I've got to take on another interest. You see? I may have to go ahead and not humble myself, but torture myself and go out and learn to fish. I might go out there and we'll sit there and get old straw hat on and kick our old bare feet up. Say, hey, man, how you doing, man? I'm doing great, man, you know. I may have to play golf sometime. And that's worse than fishing. Hitting a little ball around in a little hole and say, yeah, I got the ball in the hole. You know what I mean? Isn't that exciting? Go golfing. I may have to ride a horse. I may have to canoe. I may, you know, someone offered to take me skydiving here the other day. Now, I'm excited about that. I want to do that. That'd be fun. You know, but you see, we've got to take on the same interest as somebody else if we're going to really have the greatest love. You cannot have different interests. You cannot have incompatibility to a great extent and still have a great love. And everything that you like to do has been learned, and you can teach yourself. You can discipline yourself. Now, how does that fit in with God? The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world and the things in the world. If you have the love of the world, you do not have the love of God, the Bible says. Listen, you cannot say that you want to have a great love for God and be totally sincere in that if you are still holding on to your taste for the world, materialism, humanism. If the pleasures of the world are what you like, then you're going to have a difficult time developing a great, close, intimate relationship with God, because God is repulsed by the world and the ways of the world. You've got to discipline yourself to change your taste. You can like asparagus and turnips and okra, whatever it's called. See, I can't even pronounce it. I haven't ate much. You can like all of those delicious things. What's some of those other niceties that we like, you know? Broccoli. Cauliflower, yes. Now, some of you really like, how many like those kind of things? Talking about incompatibility, I guess I'm the one's incompatible. How do you like those things? But what's going to happen if you invite me over and you come with a big smile on your face and say, hey, man, I've cooked a meal for you, Mike. And you put that great big old plate in front of me and I go, boom. I better retrain my taste. But a few of those things I'm starting to like cucumbers. I actually can like a cucumber now. You know, I used to hate them. But you see, you can retrain your taste. You can retrain what you like to do. We've got to become compatible. We've got to learn to like to read the Word of God. We've got to learn to like to pray. We've got to learn to like to meditate. We've got to learn to like to do the things that our wife likes to do or our husband likes to do. We've got to retrain ourselves so we can become compatible with our kids. You need to sit down and play dolls and learn to like to play dolls all over again, or play little trucks or little men. Amen? Learn to be compatible. It's a great avenue for love to grow through. In that compatibility also is this: you cannot love my enemy. And I said, I'm not talking about love like the Bible's saying, love your enemy. I mean, we love everyone. But you cannot have a close love relationship with someone that's destroying everything I believe in and think that we're going to be like this. If you told me that someone had been, I could give you all gruesome examples, but I won't this morning, was doing something very terrible in your life and your family, and they continuously did that, and they were out to totally destroy you, and they were my best friend, we'd have a hard time developing a great love relationship, wouldn't we? We cannot fellowship with unbelievers and in darkness and think that we're going to have the greatest relationship with God. Because if we are going to have a deep love relationship with those who are enemies to God, and the Bible says God has enemies, then we're not going to ever be perfectly close to God. It's okay to care about people, and it's okay to have a love in general for all people. And it's okay to minister. God wants us to do that. But be careful what you fellowship and who you fellowship with. You see, who you let into your heart, who captures your thoughts and your interest. Because you'll find yourself at odds with God. Amen? My last point this morning, and that is, dare to believe that you can love that person or God to the ultimate reality of love, and dare to believe that they can love you. Dare to believe that they can love you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:19 that with boldness we can enter into the holiness of holies. I can actually believe that I can walk right into the most intimate presence with God. The Bible says do it with boldness. We've got to believe that. How many of you feel a little bit distant from God sometimes? You just don't feel like you can have that. We've got all these illusions, all these lies the devil's told us. You've got to dare to believe that I can love God from the depths of my heart, that I can become compatible, that I can live close to Him. I can do it, and that He loves me abundantly, tremendously. You got to dare to believe. And that takes effort. It doesn't just come natural to believe. You got to push in on that belief. You got to stand on that belief. You got to meditate upon that belief. You got to act out that belief. You got to put works with your faith. Dare to believe that you can have the ultimate love relationship with God, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, with your parents. Dare to believe that they can love you that much in spite of things that we look at, see in ourselves, and it keeps us from thinking they can really love us that much. A lot of husbands and wives do not believe that their spouse can love them to that ultimate degree of love, because they think, well, they know me, and sometimes I'm cruel, sometimes I've got a lousy attitude, sometimes I'm not the best, and they love me, but I know they can't love me that much because of who I am and what I'm like. No, they won't do it. You've got to dare to believe that people can love you. And you got to dare to believe that you can love them. Amen? And with God, you got to dare to believe that you can have an ultimate relationship with God. There's no limitation in it. You can have as close a relationship as anyone that's ever lived on the face of this earth. God is no respecter of person. You can do it. Pursue it. Don't give up on love. Don't give up on love. And most people have in life. They've really given up having that ultimate, wonderful relationship. If it be with God, if it be with man. But if we are going to be the kind of Christians that God wants us to be, if we're going to really live a fulfilled life, and have true life, eternal life, abundant life flowing through us so we can touch others, we need to have the greatest love flowing through us in all of our love relationships. We need to have the ultimate love, the awesome love. Amen? Because the Bible says that they will know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another. People will be drawn to God because they sense a great love and devotion and loyalty within you towards God. That draws people to God because they're after love. No wonder there's more people unmarried now than ever before. There's more people choosing to be single and not remarry. It's because they haven't had much of an example of love when they're growing up, and they're not so turned on to it anymore. Amen? Let's give the world a good example so they'll seek after love. Amen? Praise God. Any questions or comments this morning? Anyone at all? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's stand to our feet, please. Else. Loneliness has hardly anything to do with being loved. Sometime I might talk more on that. Amen? Any announcements? Pray for your love. Thank you for your loyalty to us, Lord. Help us develop a similar love to you and loyalty. In Jesus' name, amen.